the old Christian church was where?
On the corner of 7th and Penn.
That was a wooden building.
It was a wooden building.
Mm-hmm. Did it burn?
No, it tore it down.
Tore it down. What was the matter with it? Just old?
Well, they decided they needed a new church, so they built it up on that's 3 blocks further up toward the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Went west on it
and
built that big brick building up there.
You went to regular Sunday services with your mother?
Definitely.
Your father was away, I suppose, much
Dad
of the time.
Dad was gone a great deal. Dad did not participate in the church that much.
Were you ever called upon to serve in any conspicuous way in the church?
Oh, just for the Christian Endeavor, I was very active.
Were you able to go by Pullman car?
I think we just went in the chair car. I don't remember being in the Pullman, because it was just a day trip down. We do that. And then, of course, you get on the train in Portland and you go on down to Eugene. They met there several times, I think. We had the Presbyterian Church had a Christian Endeavor group, and we had one. And sometime we'd get together for a meeting or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What did you think the words Christian Endeavor meant?
Never questioned it.
What do you think now that it meant?
Well, it was just young people getting together, endeavoring to do something right, I suppose, as Christians.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yes. Endeavor, but I never questioned it at the time.
Endeavor usually means try hard to do something.
Well, I think this is what it was, to try young people trying to do the right thing.
Which was?
Well, just live a good life.
Oh.
But see, we never, in my generation, drugs were never considered, and there were very few of them that even smoked cigarettes.
There was alcohol.
But it wasn't available.
Well, if you wanted to get it, you could.
But the young people that I was with, that was never in their minds. Not at all.
Out of sight, out of mind?
Yes, I think so.
What about all the saloons in town?
Well, that was something that just men went to. Mm. That they were the smoke shops where they sold cigars and cigarettes.
Sure.
And they played pool and in the back room.
Were you aware that the boys your age might not be living such a pure life?
Well, once in a while you'd hear something and you wouldn't pay any attention to it. But maybe it was going on, but we didn't have the problems they're having in the schools now. And I feel a lot of those problems has happened because the family circle has completely broken down.
Yeah, that's certainly true in many cases.
Any community, any place now. After the war, World War II, of course I was conscious. Well, that was another thing. At the close of World War I, that was something. When the soldiers came home, school was closed, and all of us, all dressed up, and we led the parade and sprinkled rose petals down the street while the soldiers marched behind us. That was quite a parade.
Yes.
When the soldiers came home after World War I.
And presumably these were all Union County residents, these soldiers?
Yes, coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came in on a train, of course, and we had the big parade. But all the school kids, and the girls particularly, had baskets with rose petals in them that we dropped on the street and put them.
Now, you were about 10 or 11 years old when that happened.
Just about that, yeah.
Right. Did you have any concept of what they had been doing?
Well, we knew they'd been to war, but we didn't know much I don't think we cared much about it. Everybody was happy because they were coming home.
You didn't realize that it was one of the most vicious wars up till that date?
No, uh-uh, no.
Of course, if you hadn't been reading the newspaper or listening to the radio,
well,
you wouldn't
we didn't
know.
Have any radio.
Yeah.
You see, we didn't have any of the television.
Yeah.
It wasn't given to us.
Did some of the soldiers have missing legs or arms?
I'm not conscious of that. Not conscious of it at all. Probably did, but I wasn't conscious of it. None of the people that I knew did. I know my dad wanted to go, and they said no, that he was married and had a family, and they needed him to transport troops on the train. So a lot of Dad's friends who were not married did go, the railroaders, but Dad never went. They wouldn't take him. He would have liked to, I think. But they turned him down.
Tell me about your high school graduation.
We never had a big fancy deal like they do, an all-night party like they do now after.
No, I mean the ceremony itself.
It was in high school, and all the girls, we didn't wear caps and gowns or anything. The girls, I think, were all in white dresses like that, and we walked across the stage and were given our diplomas, and that was it.
There were speeches, weren't there?
Oh, some speeches, yes. And probably none of us paid any attention to them. And the ones that, like the outstanding seniors, of course, got the Rebel Victorian and all of that. I don't even remember who they were now in my class.
It's probably in the Niemer.
Yeah, probably is.
Yes.
But we didn't have the caps and gowns and things like that, like they have now. And there was none of this the parents all getting together for an all-night party for the kids. There wasn't any of that going on then.
I imagine you did rather well in high school for as far as grades
were concerned. Average. I was too busy playing.
Playing? You mean?
Well, doing other things, the classes.
Making sets and
helping with the Niemer and helping on the background and stuff of anything that was going on, and then planning all this and working on. And we always decorated the gym when we had those dinners too, and I always was involved in helping with the decorations. So. School was just kind of, that was something I had to do.
What did you think were the attitudes that adults that you knew had toward college? Was it important for everyone who was fairly bright to prepare to go to college?
Not particularly. No, I had no desire to go to college particularly. 4 years of high school. I had no idea what I was going to do. But I knew I wanted to do something along the art line. Holt Anthony encouraged me to go on with music. Well, that was for the birds. And then, what was her name? Miss Clark was my art teacher. And she encouraged me so much in my artwork. And I was kind of torn in there. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And then a couple of my friends, Marge Condon and Eleanor Cleaver, we were real close friends. They went on to college. And when they came home, I thought, I'm missing something. So I got my grades all together and went down to the University of Oregon. I stayed out of school a year, and then I went down to the University of Oregon.
What do you remember thinking that you were missing?
It just looked to me like they were having a lot of fun that I was missing.
Oh, fun,
uh-huh. They were just having a lot of fun, and they were having some experiences that I thought, hey, I'm just missing out on something. So I talked to folks in, and I said, I think I've decided I want to go to college. Well, so I got my grades together, and then I went down, and I decided I was going to become an architect at that time.
Was this University of Oregon?
University of Oregon. They had a wonderful architecture department. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, at that time, I don't know if they still do it or not, but when I registered for my freshman year, I told the advisor that it was registering and all, that I wanted to go be an architect, and that's what I was headed for. So I signed up, and I had all the art classes I wanted, in the English, in the history, and I've forgotten what else. And then I went into sorority, and that was fun. And when I went back the next year to register, he put down education, and I said, what's that for? He said, well, that's, you're going to be a teacher, aren't you? I said, that's the last thing in the world I want to be, as a teacher. I said, I'm headed for architecture. He said, that's a five-year course. No woman wants to go to college for 5 years. We started you toward teacher. I was mad as a wet hen. Mm-hmm. And so I did go finish the second year. So then I dropped out of University of Oregon after the 2 years. Then I went to art school in Portland. I've had art classes and everything ever since, but I never got a degree. Hmm. But it was just because of that first person that registered me at college. Decided no woman wanted to go to college for 5 years and be an architect. Now, that's where discrimination was shown in those years between men and women. Mm-hmm.
Did you come to think that that was the prevailing attitude, at least held by men?
It was in those days. Mm-hmm. Definitely was then.
But if you'd said,
it all changed with World War II when women started.
But do you think if you had protested and said, "Well, that's your opinion, but I think I will go to school for 5 years. Would he have allowed it?
Probably would, but I would have ended up going 5 years because some of the classes I should have been taking the first year, I hadn't had.
Yeah. Well, he said it would be 5 years, and yeah. No woman would want to do that.
But I said I'd ended up with 6 years of college.
Yes.
Because I would, if just like that first year, it was lost.
Mm-hmm. You could have done it, though.
Yes, but I didn't want to. I was mad. So that was the end of that story.
So at the end of the 2 years, and well, then the art classes.
Then I went to art school in Portland for a year.
Did you meet your future husband back
here
in Union County?
Here in LaGrande.
Yeah. Was this on a summer vacation?
No, I was home. I had dropped out, and I was working at a dress shop, which was the Top Shop now, but it was called something different then. And my good friend, Vera Hedick, that became Vera Hedick instead of Vera Beatty, was the bookkeeper for the gas business that was coming in here, the butane, when they put the gas into the ground here and sold gas. And Bob was sent up here from San Francisco, and he told Vera, he said, he came up in, the thing had happened, there was somebody else that started the job, and they panicked because it was a contract job that had to be finished at a certain date. And we had one of those real winters when the ground was frozen down about 24 inches, and they were having a heck of a time. The man that was overseeing it then was having a heck of a time and running behind, and the man in San Francisco asked Bob if he thought he could handle it and get it done, and he said of course he could. So he came on up, and Vera at that time was the bookkeeper and secretary for the outfit there, and the office was on the corner of the SAC Annex. And Bob said, I need a date. She said, I know just the gal. And she said, I'll tell you how you can meet her. And Vera told her where he could come. He said, well, I've got some presents to wrap to send to my mom. She said, take them down there and eat it to wrap for you, and then you can look her over. So Bob brought his boxes down, and I wrapped them for him, and we had a New Year's date, and 6 months later, we were married. That's the way that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And when you married, did you stay in LaGrande just a short time?
We were here just a short time, and then Bob was transferred to, we went to Portland. Then we went to Shelton, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Then we bought the plant in Anacortes, Washington, and the people that were on the board and all were driving Bob crazy, and we had a chance to take a real good job in Tacoma, so we moved to Tacoma. Then from Tacoma, he was transferred, and we were in Seattle. And then from Seattle, we moved down to Portland. This is the advancement all along the line, and from Portland, the sales manager from the Honolulu Gas Company came over and had heard about Bob and talked to him and all, and he first turned it down, and they came back after him and insisted on it. So Bob took the job, and we moved to Honolulu. And Bob became the sales manager for the Honolulu Gas Company, and then he worked himself up to first vice president, and then he was asked to be the managing director, which is now called the president of the Pacific Coast Gas Association. So we moved to San Francisco. And that's where we were when he retired from the Gas Association.
Well, let's come back to the beginning of this. tell me, what's the difference between butane and propane?
I suppose it's in the consistency of it. I'm not sure.
But
butane was brought in big tanks, and those tanks were hooked up to the pipes that were in the ground here for the people to cook with and heat and water heater and all of that.
What were his responsibilities when he was in LaGrande, when you met him?
Well, he was building. He was getting the pipes had to be in the ground, and so he finished the project to get it going.
This was the first installation
of gas service here in LaGrande.
I see.
And that was in 29 and 30.
Yeah.
30 is when he came up.
Were these pipes buried 2 or 3 feet, you think?
Yes, about, I think they were down, I think they were close to 20 inches down.
And what was the place of origin? Where did the pipe system start?
The tanks were out off of Cove Avenue, out that way. These huge, big butane tanks that were filled when the railroad would bring them in and fill them. And then those were attached to all of these pipes that were all over La Grande.
And then when they were empty, they'd be replaced by other
pipes? The butane would be brought in, and then natural gas came in and took over. So, of course, they didn't need the tanks anymore.
Did you witness any of the installation of the pipes?
Oh, I saw it all over town.
Were these mechanical diggers?
Most of it was men digging.
Was it?
Uh-huh. And, of course, that was Depression time. Mm-hmm. And the reason when Bob took over, he realized what the wages were, and he was paying these men that were looking for jobs, he was paying, I think, several cents more than the going wage. So he got all the help he could get. Mm-hmm. And at that time, too, the old Zuber Hall was going over the dance, and some of his men played in the in there. And Bob and I loved to dance to the Kiss Waltz, which I don't even know if anybody even knows it anymore. And every time Bob and I go into the dance hall, it didn't make any difference what the orchestra was playing. They'd go into the Kiss Waltz for us.
And, of course, you had to kiss when they played the waltz.
It was fun. That was a fun time. And then Jack Wright was his name, came in here, who managed the theaters. And the one that was clear down on Adams had the most wonderful pipe organ in it. And Jack Wright could play anything on that pipe organ.
And is that the one that was called the Liberty at the time, or
yes,
the Star?
No, the Liberty.
Yeah.
And Jack was, I think Jack probably weighed around 250 or 275. And he was managing the theaters. But after the theater was closed, Bob and I'd go down. And, of course, that was still Prohibition. And we could, so they had, Bob and Jack knew where to get some of the liquor, and we'd have drinks and sit down there in the front row, and Jack would play the pipe organ for us. And then some of the friends I had here knew what we were doing, and so they started coming down. There'd be couples all over the theater down there while Jack was playing the organ for us. We might be there maybe an hour after the show closed with Jack playing. He'd even play the bumblebee on the organ and all that. Oh, that was such fun. Those are fun memories.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But those are my grown-up years.
By the way, while we're talking about the Liberty, there were stage shows there periodically, weren't there?
No, the stage shows, let's see, were they there, or were they up, there used to be a building, which was the Opera House.
Stewart's?
Yes, and that's where most of the stage things, I think, were. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that on the...
Dick Hyatt would be good to talk to on that.
I know.
Because he also has all that. Of course, I knew Dick, I knew his brother so well, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, his doctoral dissertation is about that subject.
Yes.
So you didn't see any stage shows, just movies?
I don't remember seeing any of the stage shows here, particularly the ones that I saw were in Portland when I was at the university. I'd go down to some of the men I was dating would go into Portland to some of the stage shows.
I know there was a period when there were many shows coming through, operas and vaudeville and plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back, if we could, to the pipes and the laying of the pipes in La Grande.
Okay.
You said most of this was during the Depression times.
It was.
About 1929.
Yes.
And most of the digging was by hand.
That's right.
Were they going down the middle of streets or over to the side? What was
the
layout?
They were mostly at the side, down parking strips and things like that.
And how far had they reached at that time? Did they go up as far as Oak Street, say?
I was trying to think how far they did go. I know they went up our street. They were, because we had gas, they put gas in our house. I know the lines went up. I think they went up maybe at the top of Spring. See, Spring Street used to stop right at the head across the street from where the Stang Mansion is. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of Spring Street. And all of that area was open. There was nothing up in here right. at all. I've forgotten how much all of downtown La Grande was pretty well had pipes put into it.
What was your experience with the quality of the heat you could get from this gas?
We didn't have gas put in the house, I don't think, down at the house. Because Dad had the oil in at the house at that. And we used to have the coal, and then Dad went into oil. Years later, Dad had the gas, I think, put into the house. But it was the same as anything. It's just like I have now with gas. It was just regular. It worked like natural gas.
As good as natural gas.
Definitely. And with the gas ranges and all. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the company that your husband worked for?
Natural gas.
Just natural gas?
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't natural.
Yeah, but that's what they call it.
Oh, I see.
Do you have a date or anything?
No.